a dream of doing some little good for all children. And especially those whose lives are poor and seemingly destitute, almost of all hope. When Christmas comes around and hope seems to get restored, even though countless disappointments preceded, there is a seed, a spark, if you will, because of the generous spirit of the season. It is truly amazing, and even in the eyes of the Christian who knows so much more about hope, this Christmas time becomes both a moment to feel the reality of a kinder mankind, perfected in Christian love through the kingdom soon to be over, the ruins of mankind's failure, as well as, at the same time, the Christian hope is turned inward to an introspection and an asking of God to help show the one true hope, the good news, and clearly show forth the praises of Him who is light, who is kindness, who is love. To the true Christian, Christmas is not about a season, but of grand goodness of that babe in the manger who grew to become the perfect man, the Messiah, and gave His human life that the world may later be given life. And Christmas is about the Lord's goodness shown in His promises and prophecies soon to be in Christ's kingdom of love. Thy kingdom come, having come right here on earth. Good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all people. Christmas spirit is merely a hope seen in mankind that hearts will one day soon be always in the Christmas spirit, always giving, always loving. Things are changing, and the good feelings are waning in these global pandemic and worldwide politically charged days. And it doesn't matter which country. Many families have not been gathering. Community events have diminished, and the hope has given way to fear and isolation and worry. Some might say this is the real Armageddon. Because they said to you that in the last time there would be mockers who would be selfishly walking according to their own ungodly lusts. But first you must realize that in the last days, some people won't think about anything except their own selfish desires, and they will make fun of you. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. What do we do? And what do we suggest to you, our dear families? Ah, yes, you have the inside track on the best way to live during the seemingly darkening days. It is this: be kind to others, be gentle with the ignorant, or find understanding when some even become so confused that they disparage others and distrust and become violent. Be kind. Recall God's example. But love your enemies and do good. And lend, hoping for nothing again, and your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. For He is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Yes, for He is unkind, He is kind to the unthankful and to the evil. See, believers believe, but skeptics doubt. And there is a saying in this country, the United States, that it's often promulgated, and the usual wording is briefly stated as God and country. We recommend staying out of the way of how this wheel spins, because it sounds right doesn't mean that it is right. In these charged times, most of the rhetoric follows the pattern of God and country, and further, a kind of attitude that appears to say, my version of the of this country, not the other guy's. Country and God. It seems to have come to some grand belief that the opposite political party is the enemy. And ugly accusations and condemnations over points of perceived violations of the U.S. Constitution are becoming endemic. And even bloodshed suggested or carried out. If it were God first, there would be better words chosen instead of lies or slanders or backbiting. They were secret backbiters, open slanderers, hateful to God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of new forms of sin, disobedient to parents, destitute of common sense. These are things to stay clear of. These are things of the world and define not the coming kingdom, but the unloving responses to the seemingly deluded or unloving. It is important to note that none of these represent the kingdom of the Lord, the loving kingdom of light and truth. This kingdom is an everlasting kingdom and begins in the heart, rendering evil for evil, as now seems to be the case, is contrary to the message of glad tidings, which shall be unto all people. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all people." Rendering evil for evil, in cases of what we say, is to use the same tactics as backbiters and slanderers, mudslingers, and such known for unloving, disturbing, divisive, and unkind talk. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Taking the high ground today, it would be best to stay as neutral as possible, and if pressed, always start with kindness. Most present arguments have some bits of truth. Land on those and flame them towards the kingdom that will be, as promised, known by all. For then they shall not ask, "Know ye the Lord?" For all will know him, from the least unto the greatest of them. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. The only peace now is in the hope, in God's promises, all found in the holy word of God, the Bible. There we are taught to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, O God, on earth as in heaven." Why? Because nothing mankind can do will be successful to change hearts to love. It is becoming increasingly clear that unless these days of trouble be divinely shortened, there will be no one left, or as it is written in the words of Jesus, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days be shortened, there would be no flesh saved." It is becoming increasingly impressive how the world's hopes are diminishing and our one hope becoming so very much preferred. Their hopes are shattering and our one hope rising already in our hearts, which desire kindness in others, but which we may only be able to see as real kindness within our own hearts. The world needs love. We need to become that love as quickly and purposefully as we can. And right now, today, it starts with kindness. Kindness matters. Consider the fragile hopes of the world. Their suggestions that they find another planet. We see that star travel will not be ready in time before the world collapses, especially since the technology is unknown. We see that that world hunger and starvation are becoming increasingly prevalent. We see that civil wars have created a worldwide refugee crisis. We see climate catastrophic effects. We see doubts about data, negation of news, and proliferation of conspiracy and false news. All of these should bolster our faith in the Lord. It is our only hope, and it is a good hope. It is a prospect so transporting, so that we may pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as in heaven." What is that kingdom? It is a kingdom of blessings, of kindness, of love. When we consider the great sufferings of mankind, of their selfishness adding to their already burden through disobedience and pernicious ways, of the selfishness and hatred that aims ugly hearts to countless acts of unkindness, then we can appreciate that time when these will no longer exist. Gone, done away, finished. Humble hearts will be all. Humble and meek. Humble, meek, and willingly obedient to the new order of love. For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. For then will I turn to the people a pure language, that they may all call upon the name of the Lord to serve him with one consent. And after those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law into their inward parts. What law? The law of love. And I will write it in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Wherefore, do this now. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you to both will and to do of his good pleasure. So do all things without murmurings and disputings. Getting involved will make things better should be thought of as how to tell of the Lord's better way. Now about here. It is telling of these promises as we've just given a fraction. God counts the good things we do daily as worthy of honor in the path of holiness. Then in the soon kingdom to come, ready to merge into and walk his highway of holiness. And a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those. The wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. These are tremendous words telling of great blessings. And a greater kindness, perhaps, could not be offered than the hope these can give. So getting back to the humble heart and meek and kind, all elements of that love from heaven, consider how these may be real in our hearts right now, today. To be humble takes a perspective that many will only have by means of hard times and heavy trials, burdens that become too heavy to bear, or fears that only grow and crush. But looking into the Word of God, we see another way, for we see Jesus. What does this mean to our humbling? Jesus was a man, but he wasn't an imperfect man worthy of death, but a perfect man, worthy proven worthy of life. When we see this, we're at once struck by how imperfect we are. We look at the words of Jesus, the prophecies concerning him and how he lived these, see his sacrifices, see his kindness, his love, his humble disposition as he looked to God. We can readily see our lack. It is too late for us to be so perfect because we see we are sinners already, wrongdoers, wrong thinkers, wrong speakers, already tainted. But when we see Jesus, we can begin to do better. We can begin to think good thoughts. We can begin to speak kind words. Once we were lost, but now we can be found because we have seen Jesus, his life, his love, and we are humbled. Humble in this way is the seeing where we are and comparing honestly to Jesus, the perfect one. All that gap between is the gap of the humble heart, which knows this is true. Pride, the opposite of humbleness, subsides every day we see our need for Jesus instead of relying on our own imperfect doings, our own imperfect thinking, and our own imperfectly spoken words. The gap does not close as we see Jesus more clearly in the Word. No, the gap just gets wider, and our need for Jesus' help in every time of need is assured by promises of grace rather than personal but heavily flawed execution of our own wisdom and our own words. Pride has become an acceptable word in the world, but to the true Bible student, it remains a thing to be avoided for its selfish subtleties. We see this when some tell their children, praise them for their schoolwork or their sports activities. It would be kinder to express a humbler phrase that I'm proud of you, such as well done, or that was amazing. Encourage without adding the selfish pride word. Proverbs 16. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Why? Because love and kindness think beyond self. Others are brothers on that opponent team. It was a competition, yes, but each gave their best. None were bested by the score. Kindness is that handshake at the end and a true word of encouragement, such as, wow, you were really a good opponent in this game. Or, man, you gave it your all and took care of me on several occasions. Great job. So such conduct we call good sportsmanship. Yet it is really kindness that steps up for another, even at the expense of our own selves. That's what real kindness does. It takes from a moment and makes a friend, maybe even a family member in that instance. Kindness cares. Believe that. And we would add for your consideration that this Christmas season, when you see those signs and banners and cards that say, believe, make it go to a different place than that Santa Claus fantasy. Make that word become your reason for living. Believe enough that you need help from God, from his son Jesus, and then turn around and give. Turn around and show every person you can what it means to you to become kinder, gentler, more caring than ever. Another word that has a different meaning to in the world, the sports world especially, than with students of the Bible is the word try. The coach may tell us, don't try, just do it. The thought is to complete a task with perfect execution. Well, that may be the goal every time, but is it realistic? Is it possible even? Perfection takes hard work and never is achieved permanently in this life. Practice makes perfect is more like keep trying your best and move that best higher and higher as you grow. Perfection starts in the mind. Trying is the effort to make it real. The goal isn't to do, but to change our minds to have heavenly love be the way we think all the time, without catching ourselves, because our minds would not need to be caught, not required to be changed into love, will have been there already. The believer, not merely the curious attender, but the one called of God to enter the hidden gate, first opened by Jesus' example, finding and following in his footprints, knowing that perfection isn't found in the balance beam or nor on the football field or the basketball court, but in thinking like Jesus, loving the Father, and knowing his will is to love. The believer plans on being this love. Will it always be perfectly executed? No. But trying every single day is not only mandatory because it's God's will, but because we delight to be in the Heavenly Father's business of love. Trying is what we are to do moment by moment, trying to love perfectly. Let this mind be in us, though daily we are humbled in the trying. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation in my high tower. What does the psalmist here report of the help God gives if doing on his own was enough? Why ask for that help? Because it isn't enough for us to do on our own. We need the help. This should be obvious to all the humble, because it is especially important to consider in others, so we may be as patient or more so than we would ask of others to ourselves in our imperfect actions, words, deeds, yea, even in our thinking. True heartfelt kindness in us must include putting ourselves into the other person's shoes and placing our hearts into a constant sympathy mode and attempting to make excuses for another as much as we can imagine others have for us. If this sense of forgiveness bothers us, it is likely we have our own problem that may be making our hearts much too cold and kindness unachievable. Let us step back and consider such help as comes from this little conversation between Jesus and Peter. Then came Peter unto him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? And Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Yes, it is hard for us to be kind. It takes work. Why is it so? Because it takes unrelenting practice. Kindness goes beyond any gift in a box or any card in an envelope. Kindness is in our heart, becoming different than selfishness, different than impatience, different than being judgmental of others, and a whole boxcar of other nefarious attitudes and platitudes. Kindness replaces each of these by having a new mantra of helpfulness jumping in to grab a heavy bag, to give place to another vehicle trying to merge, little ways of making the other person have life a bit easier at our loving expense. Kindness costs us something. Remember, 1 Corinthians 13, the so-called love chapter, is written, love suffereth long and is kind. Usually it is selfishness that we must let go of. The world runs on a whole lot of not kind and often terrible habits. If letting that guy into traffic caused us to miss the light and held us back by seconds from that appointment or train or whatever, it may have actually cost something. But if we gave from our heart, and remember, it is that kind deed which cost us that became a sweet and fragrant sacrifice of blessing. Remember the mantra, being kind takes a loving mind. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. If you hadn't noticed before, kindness is directly related to a higher, a heavenly kind of love. This connection between kindness and love will certainly come in handy when we wonder if the kind deed was worth it. As parents, do we wonder if our children are worth it? Of course they are. Love doesn't give it a second thought, even if they're testing our patience, like my kitty is right now. Yes. Love your enemies and do good, and ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. The witnessing of kindness and of its tender impact upon us may make us appreciate it and ask why it seems so scarce. It is probably so scarce because there is a nearly perfect solution to its scarcity. And it goes something like this. If you find kindness is lacking where you go, put it there, and it will be there for a long time to come. You do not lack the ability to be kind, even if you find places you could have done a kindness but did not. If you see that a kindness could have been done, you are on the right track. You are seeing where you may make a difference and extend the Christmas spirit throughout the year. The summary of this little talk together today then is this. Find ways every day to be kind and try to see more of these as you see your missed opportunities or what others have shown to you about doing good and being kind. Daily define and model kindness. Ephesians 2:7. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. So thank you for your kindness, dear ones, and may these words be a blessing to your heart by the grace of the Lord. And just remember, when it comes to Christmas kindness, you absolutely matter.
Thank you. Let us bow our heads. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank thee and recognize thee as the giver of every good and perfect gift. We thank thee that thy Son has come and has died and is now resurrected, that he can bless the entire world of mankind in thy kingdom. We thank thee for knowing of these things, especially in this troublous time. And we thank thee, Father, for the words of encouragement of this day in kindness, and that it is something we can work on and strive to do better at. That we bestow that which is good everywhere we go. And we thank thee for knowing that in this time of this trouble, which is the precursor to the blessings that will flow of thy kingdom, that we can be hidden to some extent by seeking meekness and humbleness and pursuing it. That we will therefore not be involved in the battles between people at this time. We pray for thy kingdom. We seek that thy will be done in all the earth, that thy blessings can flow to all mankind. We now pray that thou will continue with us and guide and direct us, and we thank thee for these things, for the whole family, and for all that call upon thy name. We praise thee and thank thee again in the name and merit of Jesus. Amen.